This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 406 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com. Joining me from his wonderful 2 weeks of school holiday bliss from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender, how are you?
You know, I'm mighty excited.
Yeah? Because the end is nigh?
No. I've been looking through the stuff that we're going to be talking about tonight, and I reckon this is one of those episodes. It's going to be one of those episodes.
Oh my goodness!
That really, really give people value for money.
Right, you're setting the bar high early, mate.
I don't think this is going to be worth every cent they're paid for it.
Oh, well, every episode is that.
Some don't live up to that lofty standard. Oh, dear. Yeah, you heard the same. Yeah. Well, people couldn't give it away. How's your week been? Good? Exciting? Fun?
Well, just a follow-up.
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask you, soccer mum.
Yes. I finally got to talk to her yesterday. And
when she sent over the legal papers to sue you.
No, it was as I had suspected. She is just absolutely swamped with so much other stuff that she's trying to deal with.
That's not what I expected.
she's happy, although, no, I'm just giving you more fuel for the fire. She hasn't actually had a chance to sit down and look at the photos yet.
I love your work. I haven't seen any of it. I love your work.
But she has paid me, and she does want me to be her go-to photographer for stuff on the Central Coast. So.
Nice.
So that's good. So there will be some more work. We've penciled in a date for a couple of weeks down the track where she's, crazy as it seems, actually got a weekend photography gig down in Sydney, and she wants me to help her out on that one. So, so that's been good. Picked up a new podcast client. I can't remember. I might have mentioned that last week. So
you were doing one. You had 4,712
edits. That's right. Yeah. So he's been sending me a heap of work, which has been good. So it's keeping the wolves at bay.
You could start your own media empire.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do.
Really?
So.
Well, you like Aussie rules football.
Yes.
I like my Aussie rules football. Yes. We should. Do a live, maybe not live, a recorded live podcast commentating a game where we're so biased towards our team. So when my team plays your team, and it's nothing but everything I'm going to say is about how wonderful my team and how horrible your team is, and everything you say is going to be the opposite. Yeah? I want to hear biased sports reporting.
Right.
I want to hear channels that are dedicated just to your team and just... Tear the living daylight out of the opposition. Look at how he runs, for goodness sake. Oh, I can't think of it right now, so probably live commentary is not a good idea. You may want to script for these things.
The whole
no wonder he can't run fast. Look how short his legs
the
are.
The podcast would be ripping out on the ref.
Imagine how awesome. I mean, you, there's no more of this about, the umpire, the commentator's barracking for team A or B. Of course he is. That's the whole point of the show.
Hey, ref, where's your dog and your cane?
We should do something like that. Maybe at live photography. Yeah. When the AIPP next live stream they're judging, we'll piggyback their stream and dub our own commentary over top. We really think about the photos. Oh, that would go down badly, wouldn't it?
That would go down very badly.
Not like that at all. Oh. Anyway.
So how has your week been?
Done a little bit of photography for this project.
Oh, your secret squirrel project still going?
Finally, it's sort of wrapping up. I got an email today from them saying I've got to I'm going to find it because it was kind of funny. Hi, Glyn. We are ready for the contract for this project. Please check the attached file. We're sorry that to show you the contract after you've done the shooting. Here's the contract saying what's expected of you after you've done the job.
Right.
kind of gold.
That sounds like the perfect opportunity for you to wangle a few more benefits into the contract.
I messaged a friend this one particular line that I loved. Yeah, it's like, in case any delivered deliverables have been found to be disqualified deliverables, contractors shall deliver replacement deliverables.
Oh, man, when the legal department writes your contracts for you.
There's going to be a little bit of swearing, but I'll beat myself. And his reply was, in other words, if you say you're going to give us good shh, beep, but instead it turns out to be beep, beep, you should go and get some new beep and send it over.
Yeah, pretty much.
If the stuff you say you're going to shoot is not as good as we said it was going to be, well, you better do some more. But it's just like the deliverable, undeliverable, disqualified deliverables.
Oh dear.
So I'm finally kind of wrapping up, and I've edited the last four photos tonight.
Right, and Dave Oakley's been helping you out with that.
He's been doing he did all the TIFF editing for me, which was fabulous. I just Dropboxed them to him. He did all the I sent him JPEGs of roughly what I need the photos. The good thing about this job is as well, the photos have to be pretty much non-edited.
Right.
So when you get somebody else to do the work for you, it's not a lot they're going to do.
Yep.
Yeah. He was just creating 8 and 16 bit TIFF files for them, and it was really just a matter of a bit of contrast, bit of saturation, no sharpness, just basic stuff. Yeah. Editing, straighten a couple of lines, clean out a bit of dust if there was that sort of stuff. And so I felt even someone as minion-y as he could do that for me, So he was really good, because I sent that over on Friday, an urgent job. Of course, the day school holiday starts, so it's like, I need this work, a lot of work done, and I need it done quickly, and I can't be there to help you. So nice. thanks for volunteering. So, but it was all done the next day, fabulously. Oh, wow. So it's he's a good guy
Champion
that way,
David Oakley.
Yeah, he's just a lovely guy, And even though I took fun of him and took photos of him as he was dying on that track the other week, I have been doing some other shooting this week. Yeah. Just remember, mainly for my own amusement. Somewhat. Right. Just recently, I was given these some new Cineroid, which is the brand name, Cineroid LED light panels, folding lighting panels.
Okay.
And I think they're 800 globes to a panel.
Wow.
And I've got three of them. Three of them. So these are big, bright things. But what happened is, it was November. I was approached. I said, I'm happy to try them out and see if they're going to do what I need. And the company who imports them, which is also the same company as Tamron, said, we'll get onto it. They kind of got onto it. Then so nothing happened. Then, they're on the way. And then nothing happened. And then it's July or June.
Yeah.
And Cineroid are going, have any photos been taken yet with the stuff that we sent you? And it's like, no, funny enough, because we haven't got the gear yet. So they rushed them over to me, and now it's my job to try and take some photos that are actually good.
Right.
Which, once again, not good.
Now, I noticed that yesterday your two offspring released their first YouTube video.
That too. So my two offspring started this. They've been bugging me also since last year to start up their own YouTube channel.
Now, I brought that up for a reason, because I was going to ask, did you use the Cineroid light panels?
Well, the behind-the-scenes photo is using the Cineroid light, one of the three panels.
Nice.
Light them. So that was kind of good. So I've got that. So I did a behind the scenes photo of them. And I've got a last light background, which is a graffiti background,
right,
which is pretty cool. The strict rules from the Trouble and Strife, the dog and the wife. They can't show the house. They can't use their real names.
Yep.
They can't say where they live. Everything. So I thought, well, I'll put up a background.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that'll be, I thought, well, let's make it a bit hip. And I've got a background. Then one side's a brick wall. Like a crumbling old brick wall, and the other side is a graffiti wall.
Nice.
So I put the back as a background for them to do their first filming. And they sat there for like the next 2 or 3 hours, hitting refresh every 5 seconds to see if the views had gone up.
Of course.
So, of course, I'm frantically sending out, because, of course, the other thing is my wife won't let me put the link up on social media for other people to go and look at it, because it's the kids.
Yep.
Photos are okay. Video, maybe not so much, you know. So how do you get
how do you spread the word?
I Googled, there's 300 hours of video uploaded to YouTube every minute.
Yes.
So there, 4 minutes, 41 seconds in that 300 hours, that minute. Yeah, how is it going to be seen by anybody? So I'm texting people like yourself, yep. Please watch the video. If you have the ability to like, please do so. And so they got 224 views on the first day.
Nice.
They went to bed very, very excited, woke up 228, and they got up four overnight. They were disappointed. They were expecting 1,000. But they got 10 likes, which they were very, very excited about. Awesome. No dislikes, which yeah, also, yeah. As I said, well, how could anyone dislike us? We're lovely.
So yeah. Were you live streaming or were you recording and editing and rendering? And
so this is, the whole thing was their idea. So it was they came up with the concept. They came up with the concept of what the video was going to be. They scripted the stuff. They ran out all the questions. They're doing an interview to introduce each other. Yep. And some of their likes and so on. Then I shot it all on their iPad.
Right.
And then my daughter then edited it all on iMovie on her iPad.
Wow.
And uploaded it to a YouTube channel.
Wow.
So, yeah. So
good on her.
Please, they've got titles in there and everything else. And, yeah, please. So for a first effort, it was pretty good.
Yeah, nice.
I ordered them an iPad holder to go on a tripod so we can get nice positions. Rather than Dad have to stand there and hold the iPad for them. And we'll probably get a better microphone.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, because sound's important. So we'll see. And the next video, we're going to go to the zoo. And there's a lemur in enclosure we can go in and get to, and they're not caged, they're walking around you and you can get within inches of these things.
Wow.
Yeah, so they're going to do a video on lemurs and hopefully get some really close-up stuff of the two of them with a couple of these things, and that's not going to be every kid's YouTube video, so no. That might get five actual people liking it, you know. My mate Adam, he did put the video on continuous loop, mind you, to build up the
likes. Good on him.
And I might hit refresh a few times. But they're very excited. So that was the other kind of creative project for the week.
Nice.
Now, I've just sent through a photo. I'm not sure if you've got it. Look on that. That's my Cineroid lights.
Nice.
I thought, here's our photo for this week's episode.
Yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
Actually shooting down the panels. They're actually the panels of the LED panels.
Nice.
I'm using as part of the subject on a black reflective tile, floor tile, just a big black glossy floor tile.
Yeah, nice.
So it's reflecting the light, shooting down the lights. You can change the color temperature of the lights. So that's why you've got some brown ones and some white ones. So you can get a massive color temperature
that's
range.
Awesome.
So it's using all three of the panels in one shot. I thought, there we go. And the head guy at Cineroid put on his own Facebook page. So that's been
wow.
Good.
Cool.
Shown something and moderately creative at that.
Yeah, it's great. Love it.
I think it's something different, you know, a bit of playing around and didn't have kids hanging around. I could have done all sorts of other stuff. I reckon there's some potential to play around all sorts of other things with those. But I'm going to put on an art nude workshop with them.
Right.
Because constant lighting is just a fabulous way to learn to see light. And an LED lighting studio workshop.
Yeah, nice.
So flashes. Once again, people don't see, can't visualize. You know, modeling lamps are handy on studio, but not quite the same as continuous light. So,
yeah, right.
Yeah, so anyway, that's been my week.
Beautiful. Oh, should we get on to some stories?
Oh, yeah, of course. Absolutely.
Adam picked up on this one, but I'd also picked up on it myself. 500px has killed off their marketplace and Creative Commons licensing.
Yep.
Now, this kicked in on July 1 of 2018. So if you were in the habit of posting stuff to 500px and licensing it as Creative Commons, be informed that that is no longer an option. So interesting to see... whether that has any negative impact on 500px.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, once again, it's aren't they just funneling it through Getty? Is it they're much sort of the same?
Yeah, so Getty,
it might look the same.
Getty and Visual China Group, the latter of whom acquired 500px back in February, stating that the partnership, as part of a strategic repositioning of 500px's network of contributors and the licensable content they submit to 500px. So there's more on the website FAQ for anyone that needs to dig deeper into the story. The next one I got was close-up photos of comets and other gems from the Rosetta Image Archive. So the
gems?
The European Space Agency has put up, I think it said something like 100,000 images.
Didn't Toto do that song? Rosetta, Rosetta.
Something like that, mate. So, yeah, 100,000.
That's just a photo of a rock. The first photo is just a photo of a rock.
Yes, it is.
It's like
it's just a rock you, just a rock you wouldn't find on Earth.
I take photos like that all the time when my camera's dangling down by my side and actually hit the button on the shutter button. You know? No one's putting that up on the photography front page, are they?
Yep. And look at the second one. Clipped blacks, clipped man's whites. Ass.
Another.
Hey, look at that. Just rubbish. Rubbish photos. No.
How long? At the moment of exposure, you can see the star in the background's a lot. Yeah, it's a decent exposure.
They should have sent a decent photographer.
Oh, the next one down. Do you know what the next one down is? Do you know that woman who won the portrait prize last year? Dispatch negative and spit? I reckon that's an outtake.
Could very well be. So, anyway,
next one down. There's a light leak in the next one down.
That's right. So if you're into asteroid and comet photography, there's 100,000 images for you to have a look through. So
dirt.
And rocks. A lot of very high contrast stuff. So, there'll be some people who'll be interested in that stuff.
There is one very cool one. But they're not numbered.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to say it's always one, isn't it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, I can count. Right. 8, 9.
Before or after the
number
moon.
10. From the very top, number 10.
Yeah, before or after the moon shot.
One of the moon? Oh, the one before.
Oh, the one before it. Okay, yep. This image shows the fillet landed safely on the surface of the comet. Nice.
That's a picture of a spaceship landed on a moving comet through space.
Yeah.
By humans. That's a pretty remarkable bloody
achievement. Thing. Yeah. That is a man-made object that we flung off our planet, landed
years in advance. Yeah. To plan to land on this thing that's traveling at whatever, 8-9 kilometers an hour, whatever it's traveling at.
Yeah,
yeah, it's
more like that per minute, mate. 8 or 9 kilometers a minute.
Yeah, a second probably. Yeah. It's quite remarkable. So that's pretty cool.
That is awesome. So yeah. Next one I got. Now this is still only rumor, but it does appear that the rumors are gaining traction. That Nikon is working on not one but two mirrorless cameras. According to Nikon rumors, Nikon's coming up with two mirrorless cameras. One of them will be 24 or 25 megapixel, and the other will be 45 megapixel, although 48 megapixel is also a possibility. It's not said whether the cameras will be...
As is 24, 36, 37, yeah, exactly. 19, 12, yeah, and 46.
Exactly. It hasn't been said whether the cameras will be full frame, but judging from the previous reports, this is most likely to be the case. What I did...
You mean the other rumor reports?
The other thing I found interesting out of this story was they will feature a new lens mount. And you may remember that Nikon has recently filed a patent for Z mount. In the patent, the external diameter of the mount...
They left themselves nowhere to go after that, though, have they?
In what's...
Up to Z.
Yeah.
Maybe, what's the next one? AA mount?
Maybe they'll work backwards. They'll go Y and
why mount it?
So good news for Nikon people who were thinking that Nikon had dropped the ball in not getting into the mirrorless market, but bad news for anyone that was hoping they'd be able to use their existing collection of lenses with said mirrorless bodies when they ship.
But in 0.3 of a second, someone's going to come out with one of those adapter things anyway, and the Metabones type adapters that do for the Sony.
But then you're in the same boat as the Sony shooters, where they work, but you sacrifice AF speed by using those adapters. So if you're a sports shooter, it's instantly worthless. So interesting. Watch this space. So I'll put the link in the show notes for anyone that wants to read up on that story. Name That Lens is a cross-platform tool to inject EXIF data into vintage lens photos. Now, I know this isn't going to appeal to everybody, but I thought it was an interesting idea that,
Of course it would.
Well, that there are people who love taking, old vintage lenses and slapping them on DSLR bodies and shooting with them. And there is a tool...
And putting the EXIF data onto the internet. Look what I did. Look, proof. Here's the proof. Look what I did.
It's not only that. It's for your own ability to search your images down the track and go, I want to know which images
Have a naming system with the files got a name you can remember.
What?
Well, if you want to search for the images down the track, use a filing system that makes sense. Yeah.
Okay.
Why search exit data for photos taken with X lens when I'm looking for a photo of Bob? Just call it Bob. Just look up Bob. Yeah.
You don't search for images very often, do you? I can tell.
Well, I have lately. Recently, I have been. And it's quite a nightmare, frankly. Because now I've shot all these images, then sent web resolution. Then I renamed all the files.
Yeah, I know.
And sent web resolution photo, and then had to go and find all the real ones.
If only you'd tagged everything, Glenn.
If only I'd done that.
Things could have been so much easier. and the last thing from me that I didn't actually have in the rundown when I sent it through to you on Skype is that I have started creating a series of videos which I am publishing to YouTube on Darktable. So I'm 2 episodes in. I launched the 2nd episode this afternoon. I will find a link because I don't actually have it in front of me right now, and I will post that in the show notes as well. So anyone who...
Because I want to take that link and send it to This Week in Photo podcast and get them to read it out.
Why?
That they found a podcast, a tutorial on, and they can take the piss out of it rather than us doing
it. Right. Well, you do that. Rob Coates sent me an email last week. I think it was on Friday, and he said, you may have discussed this last night. I always seem to find these things on a Friday. Regards, Rob Coates. And this was a story from National Geographic about the Travel Photographer of the Year 2018 grand prize awarded for humpback whale calf's tail. This is a stunning image.
It is.
I am in awe of anyone that wants to swim in the ocean beside whales because just their size would absolutely
scare the crap out of me.
Yeah, I know it's only a calf.
You know, if you look at the back end of it, it's pretty scratched up already for a calf. I mean, it's had a lot of wear and tear already, hasn't it?
Absolutely. You know? But the thing is that wherever there's a calf, there's probably a mother not far away, and they tend to be a little bit precious about their babies. Yeah. But I take my hat off to the guy that's
Captured shot,
this
yeah.
image. Yeah. So
I used to have a photo of whales on my wall growing up as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, so I could love a good whale photo.
Yeah.
I also had the Bay City Rollers, but we won't go into that.
No, we won't. Adam sent us a couple of stories. The first one was how to shoot defocused fireworks. Now, I saw this through the week myself, and I didn't bother to grab it, but when Adam sent it through, I thought, I'll have another look at that. And there was a line in here that I thought, oh, Glenn will absolutely love this. It's the third point in the taking the shot section of the page.
Put your lens out of focus.
Step one is to prepare. Step two is to begin the exposure shortly before you predict the explosion. Start out of focus. Step three, when the fireworks explode, quickly refocus your lens throughout the explosion until you reach the tack sharp focal point. I knew you'd love that.
Once the perfect focus is achieved, end the exposure.
What I don't understand is how are you going to know where the tack sharp focal point is?
On a moving object that happens in about of a second.
Yeah, and particularly once the mirror has flipped up. So you can't see anything through the viewfinder. So presumably the only way you could do it is to actually manually look at the...
No, it was shot with a Canon, so this reads like a Sony user.
Why?
But
why do you say that?
Well, because Sony can see that when the shot's been taken, still see the image, can't they?
Possible with live view. Yeah. Maybe.
Now, he's only got a Canon 5D Mark II. I mean, what kind of photographer is that? I mean, really.
Anyway, I thought the tack sharp focus would.
I know. You got to admit, if you can do it, it's a hell of a skill because the speed and timing. I'm thinking there's a hell of a lot of missed shots.
Oh, more than likely.
Hell of a Yeah, but yeah, when it works, it's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. Yeah,
and then you've done it once, and you go, "Well, bored with that,
move on to something else." And the last one from Adam was a story that Patreon, which is the site that allows content creators to set up a paywalled environment so that they can sell their creative content. Patreon is suspending adult content creators because of its payment partners. And I can only assume that Adam posted this story simply because of his work, you know, with his BlackRock fine art nude stuff. And I don't know, but I'm guessing Adam has a Patreon page and has probably been affected by this or is expecting to be impacted by it any day now. So basically anything, even with implied nudity, some of the content creators are finding their accounts being suspended. So, yeah, if you're in that space of, you know, creating content that's mildly not safe for work or even explicitly not safe for work, be aware that Patreon is, clamping down. So that link will be in the show notes as well for anyone that wants to read up on that. What have you got?
Me? Oh, hypochondria?
Of course.
Oh, I thought it's photo-wise. Let me see. I got a photo. The first one there is a photo.
Of a planet.
Press the button, a photo. I know, of a planet. Ooh. The first ever photo of another planet that's not in our solar system being born.
Wow.
Yeah, the photo's crap.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they haven't got tack sharp for stars.
except for the round black circle in the middle.
I think they've done, it's that little white blob to the side. Yeah. I think they've done that deep focus during the explosion focus with the fireworks guy thing.
Yep.
But having said all that, what an amazing world.
Oh, yeah.
What an amazing technology. We just talked about a spaceship landing on a moving comet.
Yeah.
And we've got photos of the damn thing on there. and then here's a photo of a planet, being born in another solar system. What astounding tech. And there was another photo linked in that same article of the best resolved image of a sun, of another sun, basically.
Oh, okay. Of a non-sun star, you mean? Yep.
Well, of a non-hour sun star.
Right. Yep.
So, but it's actually now a disc as opposed to a dot, you know. And then there's an artist, and they've got some sort of hints of detail on the surface, which they've then used.
So it's Antex. So Antares is a star 700 times the size of our sun.
That's why it's an easy photo. Because it's so big. It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
So big, that's why it's easy to photograph.
Yeah, that's right.
If it was only like 500 times the size of our sun, a lot tougher.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, a lot tougher. But that was a very cool shot too,
yeah,
I thought.
Definitely.
But it was second last year, so yeah, we missed the ball on that one, didn't we, you know? But once again, I think it's just a defocused blur.
Yep.
Personally, but still, anyway. And it's Antares, by the way. Yeah.
Is it? Okay. I'll take your word for it.
Just in case someone wants to look it up and they're going, oh, how do you spell that? Correctly would be the answer. Oh, that's funny. But also, here was an interesting one. Copyright. Yeah. This guy was looking at something on the internet, saw that this company had used one of his photos.
Right.
He asked them to take it down. They took it down. He's American, of course. He had to sue them. He's legally obliged. He has to apparently sue them, even though they took it down straight away. And then he lost the court case.
Wow.
And he lost the court case because the court said, no, that's fair use.
What?
Yeah, but the court's opinion was the use was transformative and non-commercial. So Violent Hughes, the company who used it, use of the photograph was transformative in function and purposes, while Brammer, the photographer's purpose in capturing and publishing the photograph was promotional and expressive.
Right.
So that's interesting. But the next one was the photo was used in good faith because the company found it online, didn't see anywhere saying it was copyrighted, believed it was publicly available, and took it down when asked.
Right.
But here's the thing I thought was kind of interesting. The use was of a factual photo. So the court decided that Brammer's photo was more factual than creative, meaning he was taking a photo of an actual location rather than doing anything creative. So basically it was a street.
Yeah.
and all the lighting on the street and all the other things wasn't done by him.
Right.
Yeah, he was photographing the street lights and the colours that were there.
Yeah, and the moving headlights and tail lights of cars.
So his only real thing was shutter speed and aperture and basically and framing.
Yep.
Yeah, but the rest is somebody else's work,
yeah, right.
per se. So I thought that was, that dismisses an awful lot of photographs.
Yeah.
If all these people can say, oh, someone stole my photograph of Yosemite and put it on. Well, it's a national park. It's not your Yosemite.
Yeah.
It's a fact photo, all this kind of
it
stuff.
It does set a dangerous precedent.
It does. The use was of a previously published photograph.
Mm.
The fact that it's been published previously worked against him, which is kind of astounding.
Yeah, right.
Itself as well.
As in he'd published it on other websites or what?
Yeah, so it would have been published on several websites as early as 2012. At least one of these publications did not include any indication that it was copyrighted. This prior publication and this company's use of the photo for its factual content favours finding of fair use. And the fact that they cropped the photo, so it was a portion rather than the whole.
Right, so hence the transformative ruling.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And it didn't hurt the image's potential market.
Wow.
That's a big one, you know.
Wow.
It was like someone else was now using that image and getting sales of that image or whatever. It didn't hurt the sales of that market. So it was interesting, you know. So anyone who's into that kind of stuff, there's all sorts of people's reactions to the ruling and stuff, and it's quite an interesting read, I think. I haven't read it, so I wouldn't know. But
it was an interesting read for a guy who read the headline.
And cherry-picked the odd every 15 words or something. It was good, yeah. Now, I did see one little bit of street photography this week that I liked.
Okay.
By this guy who deliberately uses slow shutter speed and neutral density filters.
Right.
To photograph street photography, where you can try and capture one subject that is stationary or manages to have them as a frozen subject, all the rest of the movement around.
Right.
So if you open it up, there's one image I particularly like. It's number one, number two, number three, number four, number five, number six.
Yep.
So I'm doing a lot of counting.
The kid in the parka? It's
kid in the feet. Yeah, just walking along. Yep. It's... There's something almost,
ghostly,
horror movie-esque about it, you know. It's a really evocative image.
Yeah.
So it's got some good stuff. Now, like any photographer, you don't show your failures. I wonder how many photos he had to take to get this one. But when it works, the photos sound cool.
They're great. You know? I like the one two or three down from that. Two down, the one with the little girl in it.
So if you want to go and challenge yourself to photograph something, look, how do you phrase this? Within my very limited sphere of what I take photos of, right? So forgetting all the other stuff, but the little stuff that I do, I know how to do it. Not saying the quality of the photos are any good, but I know the system. I know the formulas. I know how to do it. Okay, and because I know how to do it well, I can see what every photo is going to look like before it's taken.
Yeah, right.
Boring as all get out.
Right.
So there's not a lot of wow factors when I take photos, which is probably why I don't like many of my photos.
Right.
Because when I press the button, it's just confirming what my brain said it was going to look like anyway. When you see the same stuff all the time, there's no wow in photography. So one of the great things about doing something like this where there's an unpredictability to the result.
Yeah.
You get that wow factor. That's something you can get. There's now you go and do a street with cars going by. You know what it's going to look like.
Yeah,
you know, it's going to be this street with white lines and red lines. You know, it's not necessarily going to be a wow, how powerful, unexpected that is. You know, but something like this where there's so many unpredictable random elements.
Yeah,
and when it comes together and works well, my goodness, there's a great joy. So it's a great challenge to get there. And of course, the challenge is to get it to the point where you're ho-hum because you do it so often and it's so good.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the real challenge. And this guy might have done that. He might have put in... My daughters and I have been watching a Penn & Teller show recently called Fool Us.
Okay, yep.
And it's been these magicians who come on stage and try and fool these magicians with tricks. Yeah. But yeah, and my kids, of course, have been trying to do their own versions quite funnily. But the thing is that they'll talk to them, oh, how long have you been practicing cards? And the guy says, oh, 40 years. Yeah. So guy's been playing cards for 40 years. And he's got that skill up to a phenomenal level, you know. And that's kind of thing with photography. To get good, you've got to do it. You've got to have that repetition that they're continually doing it. They're picking up your camera once every 2 months, going to take photos. Yeah, it's going to take you forever.
Yep.
Another analogy too, though, I was talking to my daughters on the way home today. We're driving behind a learner driver, and they were asking about the process of getting a learner's and probationary license. And I said, yeah, before you get to your probationary license, you have to log 120 hours of driving. Yeah. And they go, oh, that's okay. I said, well, not necessarily. What if you're so busy or your parents are so busy, you can only do 30 minutes a week?
Yep.
That's 240 weeks before you've got up your that's 5 years. Yeah. And they're like, what? And this is the same thing with photography. If you only go out and photograph for a couple of hours once every 2 or 3 months, to log enough hours to get good at it, you're talking never, effectively, you know. So the same thing with this. You could go out and put neutral density filters on your lens again, try and do some street photos. Yep. And give up after your first day because everything's crap.
Yeah.
Yeah, and more than likely, unless you really, you might fluke a couple. Yeah, you might, there might be, the elements may all come together. But, yeah, to transcend beyond the fluke to an art form, there's a lot of work involved in that. I mean, there's a lot of 120 hours behind the wheel there, isn't it?
Yeah. Really,
yeah. It'd be an interesting challenge, yeah. I'm not going to do it. It would be interesting. But I thought that stuff was pretty cool and worth looking at.
Yeah, I really like that collection of images. There's some great stuff.
Yeah, I reckon it's something I'm going to have a fiddle. I've done slow shutter speed stuff like that before in the street, but yeah, only a fiddle here and a fiddle there. Not gone out there with that's my purpose for the day. Yeah, it's just try and find the calm within the storm, you know. So who knows? And my last thing, I thought this is bloody brilliant because I keep doing this. Right. Has invented a mobile phone airbag.
Okay.
So when you drop your phone, it realizes it's being dropped, the accelerometers realize it's being, and it pops out this device that's airbag, basically.
That's cool.
I'm thinking, I can see cameras and lenses and everything
coming
out with this.
So it essentially clips onto the phone like a case.
Yeah, it looks like it might actually form part of a case.
Yeah. And it's essentially like little wings that fly out from all four corners and suspend the phone from hitting the...
So it doesn't have to hit the ground,
that is great.
I have a little idea. And just that whole ability to engage within the couple of seconds of falling.
Yeah.
So I thought it was pretty cool.
Very clever. Nice.
That's it for me.
Awesome.
I told people to get value this week because it's not going very long.
That's right.
Yeah.
So what's on for the rest of your week?
Going on swimming tomorrow.
Swimming? It is July.
Indoors. The kids want to go to a park that's got, you know, water slides and stuff indoors.
Right.
Tubes, get in inflatable tubes down water slides and stuff.
Okay, well, that's fun.
So we're going to do that tomorrow and keep them warm and keep them active.
Nice.
I said my mum's been really unwell, and so the whole week, so I've been up there twice. It's an hour and a half drive to her place, an hour and a half drive back. And I've been up there twice this week with the kids to get them to all have a bit of time together. I'll be doing a fair bit of that next week as well, just to get some memories in, sort of stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, especially the dementia's really, she's struggling quite a lot, and a lot of delusions and stuff like that. So whilst the kids can still remember in a way that's not complete, as best as possible, get up there as quick as we can. And so that's kind of the rest of my school holidays mapped out, really. Visits with mum,
right.
Boring. What do you say? Yeah. What have you done today, mum?
Yeah.
I sat in the room. Really? Okay. Next day. What did you do today, mum? I sat in the room.
Yeah.
It almost forces us to have to go out and have a life ourselves so we have something to talk about.
That's right. The great thing is you can tell her the same story a million times.
What about that? Yeah. Unfortunately, she's not quite that far gone, you know? Oh, it's just delusional. Anyways. All good. Well,
all right, mate. Good to chat.
It's been a pleasure. It has been. It's been a night again, as always. And we'll talk again next week.
Absolutely. See you, mate.
Episode 406 next week?
No, this is 406.
See, you didn't get a single response to your 404?
Or 405.
Not found?
No.
Nothing.
No. Crickets.
Yeah. I think you better check the download number, see if anyone's... We could probably just save all the editing time and just talk to each other.
You could do
it. Just give us a call once a week. No one's listening. There's nobody out there. Actually, put some cricket noises on the end of the podcast. Just you know what? I'm going to check the podcast or skip to the end to see if you put them on there.
Right. Okay.
Done.
I'll see you. Talk to you next week, mate.
Bye, everyone.
ShutterZinkPodcast.com.
AnotherAudioTo.com quality podcast.
For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@ShutterZinkPodcast.com.